Welcome to the MegaCast.
Welcome everybody to the MegaCast. We are at episode 73. You have got Wilco here. Yes, that is right. I am in charge of the ship once again. So it'll be a quick one tonight. But with me tonight, we have Josh. How are you going, Josh?
I'm good, Wilco. I'm good. And I feel like maybe we should point out that this is episode 73. You won't find episode 72. Episode 72 through to just due to some bad luck, really, on our half and not enough backups, we've lost. It's gone. It's a horrible thing.
It is a lesson we've learnt.
Yeah.
We trusted our recording device, the new one we're trying, and we went without a backup for the first time, and that was the time it failed due to memory leaks on their end, on the actual the bot's end, and it was we hit the window, the very small window that it happened. It got patched like hours after we finished recording.
Just unlucky on our end
bit. Look, and it was such a good podcast. I'm glad I'm one of the five people who listened to it. Like the skill up episode we lost.
But I was really good. I was talking and I was talking to Maddie about it after it happened. And I think so. We're episode 73 and we've only lost two so far out of 73.
We've lost three. The very, very first episode.
Okay. So we've lost three. I mean, that's not bad.
No, it's not good enough.
If you've only lost the first episode, then how do you know it's been lost?
Because I was there for the hour and a half that we talked and produced no content for. I know it was there that happened. We titled the first episode 1.5 as well. So in honor of that, look, honestly, I was devastated with such good content, and we will get Screwtape Studios, Megan Anthony, back on fairly soon. Talking about those two, they joined the Inconsolables last week for a very, very good conversation. We have Andrew here tonight. How are you going, Andrew?
G'day. I'm good. Just still getting over my cold, but aside from that, really good. Thanks for having me.
That's okay. It's summer. You should have a cold. No, that doesn't work, does it?
It's the second cold I've had this summer. I don't know what's going on. I got through winter perfectly fine, and then,
It might be because you live in the worst part of Australia, but that's debatable, I guess.
Seems legit.
The worst part of Australia. Crikey. I mean, that's a low blow. That's a low blow.
He's not in Queensland.
Where exactly is he calling the worst part of Australia? That's what I want to know.
Well, he's calling Sydney the worst part of Australia.
Okay, yeah, it's no, fair, I can, isn't it? I can probably see where he's coming from there.
Yeah, no, I can see it. That's fair.
We've got a lot of things to talk to you about tonight. To be honest, one, you were at RTX on the weekend.
I was not, unfortunately.
Oh, you missed out. I thought the boys went. Did you not make it?
No, my boys did not make it. Most of the other boys did. Oh. Like a lot of AGPN folk were there, but
yeah, a lot of AGPN was there. I thought there was something to do with photography that was having an issue. Was that someone else? Was that research?
No, that was us talking about it. Because I know the photographers who were there who were talking about it. So yes. So
they actually kicked out photographers for taking photos in the main foyer. I think it was. But anyway.
They what?
You guys are talking about next week anyway, so I won't ruin that story.
Thanks. Well, yeah, the short version is, so I kicked out because of quote-unquote safety concerns. I have my doubts, to be honest.
I can understand that because, like, you never really know when a camera is going to blow up in your face. They're very highly volatile, you know, because, I mean, you've got to light that thing inside and then press the button and the flash comes out and the bulb explodes. We're talking about cameras.
Josh is from Mackay. Technology hasn't really moved forward for the last 300 years.
From the 1700s, well, right?
I was going to say, like, the secret is to stop putting dynamite inside your cameras.
That's where Kodak's been going wrong this whole time.
Yeah.
I did just tell you he's from Mackay. They put dynamite in everything.
Yeah. explains a lot.
The lovely mining town. It does explain a lot. Have you seen his face, have you? That's good.
Brutal.
Thank you very much. You guys have a good night. I'm out.
See you later. Good. We're alone. That's what I wanted. Now, obviously,
well played.
Our little game came out. this week. It's been ages ago, actually. We talked about it in depth last week in the podcast you'll never hear.
Yeah, it's about Monster 30 World, minutes so. Worth of.
Yeah. Jeez. I wanted to isolate that, but we still can't. So we will talk about that in depth tonight with the man who knows about everything, Andrew. So that'll be a good discussion to have. And we want to talk to you about a bit of Damsel because somehow you two are almost leading the charge in that game on the leaderboards, and I want to get tips and secrets on how to actually beat you guys. That'd be great.
That's fair. Well, I just pressed buttons and things happened and points accrued. So
points accrued,
yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, Paul would actually Paul would actually be better since he's the one who's actually on top of the leaderboard at the moment. But he was...
Yes, I was hoping he was going to be here, but unfortunately Paul has had a veterinary problem, so we are skipping him tonight, unfortunately.
Yeah, hopefully all's well there. I imagine it will be.
Yes,
but
we'll send our wishes out.
But yeah, in regards to like high scores there, they have balanced it to kind of... you need to try and hit a balance between speeding through the levels, but also trying to complete everything. And so if you kind of manage to do everything of a specific task in a level in Damsel, you'll get a big point bonus at the end of that level. So try and do everything, but also kind of find a pattern, like find a path through the level that allows you to do everything while keeping your combo up for collecting the skulls, and that's really what you've got to aim for.
Yeah, definitely. So I'd see currently at last night's look, you are number 4 in the world, and Paul is at number 1. So it's good to see. Yeah, I kept on getting that. I kept on getting that last skull before I'd saved the last hostage for a long time there, and that like cost you almost 1,000,000 points. So
yeah,
it's very, very hard to to mass up a point score if you're missing that, especially with the skill level ramping up around level 10.
Yeah, I still find myself doing that on some of the levels, but on like the first few, I can't properly wrap my head around it. So
yeah, definitely. I still can't get the full 28 string combo on the first level without. And still get the hack as well. I always seem to somehow the skull timer runs out before I can finish the hack. So yeah,
fair enough. I think dashing might help a little bit there too, because if you get a dash, move over to that hack thing quicker.
Yep,
buy you an extra second or so maybe. So
I really don't use dash enough, to be honest. So
I've always been a bit hesitant to dash because it uses all your ammo. So
yes, that's not a good thing at all. But how are you finding Damsel anyway?
I'm really enjoying it. It's great for like a quick, you know, jump in 20-30 minutes and then go on and play something else, or you know, lunch break kind of game. And when I was talking to them the other day, they were saying they've got a version for the Switch coming out, which I'm really looking forward to, because that's going to be perfect for, you know, 10 or 15 minutes on the train, then, you know, go to work and then play it again on the way home. So it's a set perfect for small bites. I can't imagine playing it for hours on end in one sitting, but I can see myself returning relatively frequently.
That's it. We did exclusively announce that on Super Hype Train back last year when we talked to them as well, so that Switch version. Yeah, it was good. She accidentally slipped it out, and I went, that's staying in. That's official now. So,
got the scoop.
I'm really excited about that on Switch. As I said to her on the podcast, that game just feels made for it, as you said, with the short, quick bursts. It just looks so beautiful, and the camera works perfectly. And the platforming is at home on the Switch, so very, very, very looking forward to that one as well. So,
I feel like the D-pad on the Switch is a little bit nicer than the Xbox 360 D-pad I'm using on the PC. So, I feel like I might actually do a little better.
Yeah, that's probably true as well. You haven't played it yet, have you, Josh? You only you had a look at it down at PAX.
Yeah, no, I haven't. I haven't picked that up yet. Which is, you know, it's funny. It's one of the things. It's one of those want to do that kind of things. Want to buy that, but sadly, sometimes it doesn't always work out that way.
Yeah, definitely. That's okay. It's $9.95 USD on Steam right now, early access. If you want to go get that on the Steam store, that'd be great. Do that. Support your fellow Queenslanders or Australians if you're not in Queensland.
It's worth every cent.
So that is it's going to go up to $19.95 when it launched. We held him to it last week. In April, he said it was going to go
April,
forward.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
You get it before then because it's $19.95. So yeah, definitely worthwhile getting it. Have you been playing anything else in this last sort of week or so, or been up to anything else besides Monster Hunter? Because we'll get to Monster Hunter in a sec.
I did pick up Dissidia Final Fantasy NT and played that for maybe an hour.
And then you put it down and didn't pick it back up again?
Well, I did enjoy it, but Monster Hunter is just kind of taking over everything. Okay, so
you actually enjoyed it?
Yeah, but I'm a Final Fantasy fanboy, so like there is a bit of sort of that pushing me through it. The combat system...
Weird as shit.
I'm not sure about the 3-on-3. It's the same battle system in general as the prior Dissidia games on Vita and PSP. So I'm kind of used to the dual health bar system they've got running on there. But they did change the controls, which is constantly throwing me because I'm hitting buttons and I'm like, why? I'm supposed to be attacking, not jumping.
Oh, right.
But
there was a...
It seems...
Yeah, go.
I was just going to say, it seems like you can change your control schemes, but not back to the original one. So, blah.
Yeah.
That's a bit odd.
So good. Have you been playing it online or just against AI?
A little bit of both. I've been getting stomped online and bots have been about 50-50.
How are you finding the community size? Like, is it easy to find a match or not?
It's been taking a few minutes each time, so and I can feel like that's going to get worse over time. So I don't know whether that's just a ranking thing, because your options are custom match or ranked. So it might be that I'm in the early ranks and people have moved on already, or there's just not enough players. I'm just not sure.
Yep. It'll be interesting to see how it goes. Now, Josh, what were you going to ask again?
There was way back in the days of the PS1, I think it must have been, there was a fighting game, started with an E, might have been Eragon or something like that, that had Final Fantasy players in it.
Ergots,
yeah. That was the last Final Fantasy game that had fighting game I played with Final Fantasy characters in it. And that was fun. I played the open and closed beta for NT and just didn't enjoy it at all.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. It's a strange beast, NT.
Mm. Anyways.
Yeah, well, good luck. I'm not playing any fighting games for the rest of the year, so I'm good. I'm fine. I'm happy. You enjoy your fighting games. What a week though for fighting games like Dragon Ball Z. Did you end up playing Dragon Ball Z yet, Andrew?
I've given that about half an hour's run before Monster Hunter took it over again. But
yeah,
it's one of those that I'm definitely going to get to. I mean, I grew up with Dragon Ball Z as a kid, so seeing a technical fighter that looks like even prettier than what I watched as a kid, it's just like being in those fights. It's amazing.
Yeah,
definitely. It looks good. Oh, hopefully we'll get some content up one day. Otherwise, you might. Yeah, it just seems good. Like, it seems pretty, but still, it's a fighting game. So that's Josh's and Perko's avenue, I think, and maybe even Joey, which we don't know where Joey is tonight. I forgot to tell you that he's working somewhere, so he'll be back fairly soon. But Josh, since we're waiting for Monster Hunter, is there anything else that you haven't? Oh, you have played in the last week that you haven't talked about yet?
No. Not at all. Like, okay, not, cool. Not at all. No.
No, just Monster
just
Hunter.
Just Monster Hunter. I mean, I'm 78 hours in or some fucking thing like that at the moment.
Oh, wow.
So. Jesus.
So tell me, is there anything you've thought about besides Monster Hunter? Like outside work, anything?
Oh, yeah. At all in the last week? Like work is horrible. Just busy as hell. I think there's water coming through my roof and part of it because we've had some rain. So I'm now thinking about, shit, I might have a hole in my roof. I need to look at that this weekend and that's going to be expensive.
Are you weighing up the options of fixing the roof or hunting monsters?
Yes. Is that I'm actually weighing up the options of how many monsters do I need to hunt to pay for the roof.
Okay.
But no, I lied to you before, Wilco, and I apologize because I think I lied to you a fair bit, to be honest with you.
You do. You don't like me.
On the weekends, the wife, we spent a little bit more money than we should have, got the wife's computer up and running to a good position again, I guess.
Yep.
And then we both picked up Guild Wars 2, Path of Fire. And
now, just quickly, Andrew, this is how podcasting works. He says he's done nothing for the week bar Monster Hunter, and yet he messaged me at 12:30 last night saying that he's got Path of Fire on Guild Wars 2. So I know he's got it, and I know he's been playing it, and I'm fishing to get some information about what he's been playing. And, oh, yeah,
it's been a long day, man. It's been a long day. All right? God, crikey.
How are you finding it anyway?
I mean, it's Guild Wars. It's the same that we, you know, that we've played for years and years. You know, it's the new content looks fun. I've only sunk about an hour into it so far, but
yep.
Because it had been many, many, many moons since the wife had played it, she couldn't remember her password for the account.
Oh, it's a nightmare.
And then, to top all this off, so we go to try and reset her password, but we need the CD key for the box that we bought. Now, had a horrible infestation of, like, ants that went through my little games room here, and they infested every single game case that I had, right? They ate them out, man. They were flogged. So we just threw everything out. So we don't have the CD key anymore or anything. So we're like emailing ArenaNet to try and get some. And like, oh, look, it could be 4 weeks before we've got time to get back to you and shit like this. Oh, man, she was filthy. She was filthy for a couple of days until we just randomly guessed it. We're like, could it possibly be this? Oh, it worked. Yay. But yes. Far out, man.
I had that similar issue with Guild Wars 1. Towards the end of its life cycle, I lost my password, and I'm like, oh my god. I sent them photos of every single physical copy disc that I had. That's what it had to take for them to finally turn around and say, oh no, your password's right, your email address you're using is wrong.
Oh, you're kidding. Oh,
fuck. Yeah, it was like an even older email address was the one that was set, and I'm like, oh shit.
That's right, we started on that too. Like, we're putting in this email address, and we're like, and it took us a couple of hours to go, hang on. No, that's not it. It's this. This is the email address, isn't it?
Yeah.
But we'd already...
That's how long the game's been out for. Yeah. Like, it's probably three or four email addresses ago.
Then we had to go back. Like, we'd already put 2 hours worth of passwords in, right? Trying to get...
Yep.
So then we had to go back and try every single one of those fucking passwords. Oh, just... fucked. Properly fucked.
That's the game of Guild Wars. There's an end game, which is the actual storyline.
Yeah.
Like, once you've finished getting putting your password.
Once you can log in. Yeah.
I was going to say, I heard there was something resembling an MMO in there, but.
Yeah, no, it's just random password generator game.
I think I said when the expansion came out, I pre-purchased the expansion. I just haven't touched it yet, so. If there wasn't a game called Monster Hunter World out at the moment, I might be considering joining you in.
Yeah, Guild Wars, I'm the same. Like, I've played a little bit with the wife, and that's about it. And then I just went straight back to hunting monsters.
But honestly, Guild Wars 2 is Guild Wars series has been that for me. Like, I've always just picked up the content when it comes out, and when I've got a free couple weeks, I dive into it, love it, and then just move on to something else. Mm, and it's always there in the back of my mind. I always get to it, but never at day one, unfortunately. So yeah, it's good. But I guess I haven't been playing anything else except for Damsel, which we've talked about already. I got onto the top 10 leaderboard, so suck it, all the people who say I can't game. Congratulations. End game.
By the way,
I cannot create content, though. I sat there playing the game for 45 minutes before I realized I hadn't transitioned the gameplay onto the recording part. It was still recording my launch intro screen. So I've got 40-odd minutes of my intro screen and no gameplay. And then I transitioned, pressed record, went to get the content at the end of the night. This is about, 10 past 10? Oh, there's no file there. Oh. I'd press the stream button. I'd been streaming for 40 minutes with no microphone, nothing, just gameplay. And went, oh, cool. Luckily, I've got NBN, and it was perfect 1080p streaming quality. So I downloaded the backup and, used that video as my YouTube video. So that was very lucky in the end that I got that out. I was so tired last night, as you can probably tell. But Andrew.
Yes.
Monster Hunter World. I know you're excited about this because we had you on Super Hype Train before it launched.
Yep.
Exceeded your expectations or met your expectations or not?
It's definitely met my expectations. Probably exceeded a little bit. I haven't finished the story yet, so I'm still kind of running and seeing what monsters are there.
Yep.
I'll start with the point where how WIP was a little bit worried that the original PS4s were going to run it not so well. I've not had a problem.
No, so, I haven't either. So, and yeah, I'd forgotten that was even a consideration from him because I don't listen to WIP very much. So,
yeah, fair enough. I've seen the same concern from other people as well, though. So, no, it's been running fine, and I'm on an OG PS4 as well. I don't know what the difference is with portals like PS4 Pro, so I don't know if it's just loading faster or that little bit prettier or whatever. But, I mean, one thing that's particularly impressed me with this is the sheer number of monsters that are completely new to the series. Like, normally when they bring out a new Monster Hunter game, there'll be maybe 3 or 4 brand new monsters, and then maybe some, and then a lot of returning favorites, and then maybe, like, a new gigantic, terrifying monster. And this one, I've seen more brand new monsters than I've seen original, like, returning ones, which is interesting.
You were saying they front-ended also, or you felt like that's what it was, all the new monsters seemed to be at the start of the game as well, which was a good surprise for you.
Yeah, there was a ton of new stuff early on. It wasn't until, it wasn't until the Rathian fight that I'd see, that was the first monster that was, like, a returning one.
Yeah.
And I think the Diablos as well was a relatively early returning one.
Diablos sucks, man. He is shit.
Wait till you see the Black Diablos.
I have. She's and terrifying. He's even worse, man. No.
Actually,
I did just remember,
Baroth. Baroth was a returning one as well. It was like Baroth. The third or fourth monster. But
yes, I spent a bit of time with him at the start too. But I saw a tweet, a clip on Twitter this afternoon. I don't know who it was from. It was probably someone close to me, and I apologize. But it was 2 Diabloses in the arena. One of them might have been the black one. And they charged at the person and then headbutt and knocked themselves both out. So, yeah, it was the funniest thing I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, I've seen that one too. It's pretty great. I just love that they can attack each other. And now that they...
Oh, yeah, man. That's the best, those turf wars.
Yeah, and prior to Monster Hunter World, those turf wars didn't exist, but the monsters could attack each other. Like, generally, they'd all be attacking you, and you just kind of lead the attacks into each other. Kind of like how that Diablos video worked. But then when they've actually gone in and put proper animations where they built the crap out of each other, and that's amazing to watch.
I still reckon one of the best ones I've seen is the Baroth and Girototus. Man, when those two go at it, and the Giro just goes underwater... And it just comes up and wraps around him and flops, smashes him to the ground, man. You're like, yeah, go Jira.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great because there was one that I found with, it was in the Coral Highlands. So I think it was Legiana and the stupid blindy raptor.
Oh, that fucking Titsy Yaku, man.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'd completely missed what was going on because I'd just seen the Titsy Yaku had just gone missing for a moment. I'm like, what's going on? And suddenly I just see like 800 damage pop up and then the Legiana fly off.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what?
I was going to say the same thing. I can't remember which two. It was 2 of the flying ones. And I'm just like, I was struggling with this fight. And this one came in and just absolutely threw it across the map. And 550 popped up. And I'm like, I haven't seen a number like that. Like, I see 10s, 15s, 20. And if I get a good combo, I can get 100. And this thing just threw it across the map, 550 damage. And I'm like, yeah, keep fighting.
Yeah, please do that again. You're not likely to see those kinds of numbers coming out of your stuff unless you're doing like a fully charged greatsword on a sleeping monster late game and stuff like that. But, I mean, it's more about the continually fighting them rather than hitting them once and running away kind of thing. So...
yeah, definitely. I remember we played it Friday night together on stream after launch, and we were taking on Brathios, and I put a big thing of dynamite next to him, or a big wheel barrel explosion.
Yeah.
And on the sand pit, and the sand pit then opened up, and he went in. But then as he went in, Diablos came over the dunes at the top, and I'm like, I'm jumping down the hole. See you, boys.
I'm done.
We all went down.
I am leaving now.
Because this is obviously, this is early game content. So this is like, you know, third or fourth monster in. And yeah, Diablos rocks up. And we're like,
you enough for us. Probably could kill the Diablos then, but you have to be really good.
Oh, I struggled. Like Friday night, I went up against him and Rathalos. And Rathalos, like, I had him, he completely wiped me the first time, and I felt not very confident because I'm using a hammer. He's flying. I'm not used to his mechanics.
Yeah.
I went in there the second time. He knocked me over, made me faint twice in the first 5 minutes again. Oh, no. And I'm just like, I'm not going to do this. I need to go back. I went to quit, and I couldn't quit out. So I'm like, oh, I'll just keep going. And I end up getting him down with 4.5 minutes to spare.
Nice.
Before the 50-minute time was up. And I'm just like, wow. Like, that was one of my best moments in the game so far. Besides the fact, I think then I took on Diablo, and he was all butt, and he charged at me, and my Palinko must have got in the way, because all of a sudden he was halfway through his charge and he fell over and was stunned. And I'm like, okay,
I'll take it.
What? He was then a one hit because he was that close. So I just went up and hit him once, and that was the end of that fight as well. Nice. So that was an epic night. That was 2.5 hours of streaming for two monsters down, and that was probably one of my best nights. I was very, very happy.
It's always a great feeling taking down a new monster, particularly if you've been bashing your head against it for a little while.
Yeah, definitely. It's got that. It's got such a good feeling of accomplishment. I released the Damsel video last night, and I said I did compare it a little bit to Monster Hunter World in that, where with Damsel I can see myself getting better at the levels because it's well designed, and I just get that little bit further each time. With Monster Hunter World, I do see that improvement. It's not because I'm getting better gear, it's because I'm understanding those mechanics and I'm knowing what moves. Like Diablos, I couldn't use my big twirling hammer attack because it was too long an animation, and he would just absolutely stomp me by the end of it, where I was doing more uppercuts. I was basically letting him attack me, getting out of the way, dodging, running in, doing an uppercut before he went on, and that was the fight. That's all I could do, because that was the mechanic I could understand.
I've been using the bow now for like 40 hours, 50 hours or something like that, and it is so good, man. Like, the mechanics for that, the dodge mechanics and the auto charge of the weapon, man, and then that dragon piercer move, I reckon it's got to be the most over fucking powered move in the game. If it's a big monster and you get a good line from head to tail, the big move for the bow, the dragon piercer, it literally just goes through them, and like every foot does damage, so it'll go front to back doing damage. And if you've got like the right element weapon, you'll just be doing 30s or 40s all the way down, man, like 10 or 15, you know, 10 shots, bang, 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 all the way down. You do like 300 damage in one hit. You're like, oh, yeah. It's so good.
Yeah, it's hitting every piece of the monster on the way through.
It's so good.
That's good stuff.
I've got a bow there I want to get. I've got a bow and both bow guns, and I want to try and get good at both of those. They're my next things to master. So I dropped the katana pretty early. I don't know whether it was the length of the animation or I just had to be too close. But then I've got the hammer, which I've got to be in close anyway.
The hammer's a good stun weapon, though, man. That's the best thing about the hammer. You just keep hitting the head and you'll stun him pretty quickly. Then he's down.
I do find, like, I'm very much targeting the heads. Like, I haven't knocked a tail off or done anything to a tail damage. I do hit the legs. If I get the twirl attack through the legs, I can knock them over a fair bit. But yeah, now I've got the poison with the hammer. Oh my god, it's so good.
Yeah.
Don't want to use anything else.
You're not going to be cutting tails off with a hammer anyway, to be honest. I mean, it's a blunt weapon.
Yeah.
It's a blunt weapon that you still have to sharpen. But I've been learning
I don't understand that, but anyway.
Yeah, I've always kind of just headcanoned that as weapon maintenance rather than sharpening the weapon.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess I just didn't want to do a separate item for a hammer because it just gets ridiculous.
Yep.
But I've been learning I've been learning how to use the charge blade through this game, which is a nice combination fast and slow.
Good, isn't it?
It's crazy. And I've managed to get one now that has the blast element on it, so every six or seven hits it's exploding.
Because that's the terrifying one. Charge blade is the sword and shield that turns into the axe, isn't it? That's the charge blade.
Yeah.
That's my secondary weapon. That's the other one I use when I'm looking to like cut off a tail really quick or something like that. I've got a paralysis one.
Nice.
And it is so much fun to use, man.
It is so cool. I'm still sort of figuring out like the guard points thing, because when some of your attacks, you present your shield as part of the animation, and if they hit you on that shield, you block it, and if that shield's charged up, you also deal some damage back to them. And so that's sort of like a aggressive defense, if there's a way to word it.
But it actually took me a long time to work out how to charge the shield and sword off the axe.
Yeah, it took a bit of.
That's a pretty fairly in-depth button sequence for that. And if you mess it up once, then you're fucked. Like, and it takes some time to get it to that point.
Yeah, and I think the Charge Blade is probably one of the more technical weapons in the game. But since I've been playing for so long, I figure it's time I try something a bit weirder. So,
how many hours have you sunk into it so far,
Andrew? Today I would have hit maybe 33, 34. In between, like, work and all this other stuff we're trying to handle. So, not as much as I'd like.
And when,
but
when you said earlier that you you hadn't finished the main story, that's obviously that whole Zora Magdaros.
Yes, but it carries on beyond the Zora Magdaros.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Because I thought it was going to finish after Zora, and then, like, there's more. I'm like, what the fuck? As I said, I'm 70-something hours in now and still haven't seen the end.
I've just finished the Zora Magnaros fight last time I played it, and that was the point where I think you'll find that some people do bounce off, because that seems to be a fairly open, closed storyline, and people sort of, like, there's no credits there, but if they're not hooked at that point, that's probably where they're going to leave.
It does feel like an ending, but it's funny because the reason for that, I'm guessing the reason for this, is that in prior games in the series, you would have, and I think we mentioned this on Hype Train, but you would get a version of the game released and then in Japan, and then they'd have the same game but with a G attached on it, and that would be your high rank section.
Yeah.
And they would come with their own story, and it feels like they've tried to munch them both together, so you've got both stories. When you go to like 3 Ultimate and 4 Ultimate, you had the same thing happening, because we got the original game plus the G versions put together, so you get two stories. And it seems like they kind of mirrored that here.
Yeah.
Because sure, you've dealt with Zora Magdaros, but you haven't dealt with Nergigante yet, and you still haven't figured out why all that's going on.
Well, that was the big thing. I'm like, oh, this is going to see us fight him, okay? And then he arrives. I don't think I even touched him. I was taking that long getting around that fight. I did not know that. There, sorry, when you got. How far haven't beaten him, Andrew, or you have?
I have just today reached the Nergigante fight in the story.
Oh, the Nergigante fight. So you're way past that. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So I have dealt with Zora Magdaros, but I've reached Nergigante, had a crack at him. He stomped me because of course he did. So I want to go upgrade my armor a bit. I've got mostly low rank armor, and I'm in high rank, so Nergigante is kind of my brick wall for this game, I think.
I think I'm just about to come up against Nergigante in mine.
Can I just say I didn't like the Zora Magnaros fight, to be honest? I found that.
That is entirely fair. I hated it.
It was a bit boring, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And and especially when I'm feeling like that's peaking to the final thing of the match, of the story, and it obviously wasn't, but that's the way it felt they built it up to. And it's like, I didn't even hit any of the barrels off the rocks off the roof. My brain's not working.
The stalactites.
Yeah, and I didn't do any of that part of it. I don't think I broke any of his power points on the molds on the back of his body at all.
Yeah.
Because of the fire we kept on, and with a hammer I couldn't get close and then get away in time. It took me so long to work out I could put more than 3 cannonballs in a cannon. And also the fact that there was 2 people there to help me fill the cannon. I was just doing it on my own. I'm like, oh, okay, they're down the end, they're firing the cannon as well, I'll just use this one. And then I realized they just fill the cannon up and they don't fire it, and I'm just like,
you're
like running back and forth between the cannons, man.
Yeah,
the other fun one with those guys is you can run out of cannonballs to put in, but they'll keep loading it.
Yeah, I know, I've noticed that. I'm like, well, there's none there, what are you grabbing? But you're doing it anyway.
Yeah.
And then there's a point on the boat where I went to grab the cannonball and always end up downstairs in the stairwell. I'm like, oh, fuck, this is annoying. And then I saw one of the NPCs do it as well. they've gone down to pick up this cannibal and they've ended up jumping over and somehow into this little stairwell drop down bit. And I'm like, well, that's just must be a bad point in the map. But
probably. Have you done the Dragonator though?
Yes, I did. That was one of the first things I did down there. I'd found that because I didn't. Look, it's Japanese. That's why I put it down to a lot of the stuff.
It's the Dragonator. Oh God,
it's very Japanese. But I found that I did an arena battle for one of the quests I had to do, side quests. And it's in there, and I loved setting it up. You can only use it once, though, I think, in that arena, which is the other downside.
No, I think it does reset.
In prior games?
Oh, does it?
Yeah, as I say, in prior games it resets, but it's got quite a long cooldown.
Okay. I dropped the rocks on the head as well, which was pretty cool. But I like that arena fight. It was dangerous, though, being in that close quarters where they can't run away. There's no break in between fights, so you had no sharpening unless you knocked them over or unless you really got away from them. So,
yeah, you'll find that the arena missions tend to be the harder ones as a result of that stuff, but they also set up those traps and things to help you out a bit. So, yeah, in the arena in prior games, there's also sometimes you'd have to fight two monsters at once, but there'd be a button that would shoot up like a fence in the middle, so you could kind of split them for a little while.
Yep.
I don't know if that's in this arena, but it's worth a look.
Have you done any of the arena or much of it?
I did the Horizon Zero Dawn one so that I could get the robot cat armor.
Yeah.
But aside from that, I've kind of stayed out of the arena and focused on actual hunts and story.
So what, like, I know we're talking before on Hype Train about how they're catering towards a more casual audience with this game or a newer audience. How do you think they did that successfully, you reckon?
I'm not sure. I mean, it's always going to be difficult for me to kind of gauge that since I've been playing it for years. But it does feel like a bit of a more gentle intro, and at least it's got some convenience that newer audiences would, I'd imagine, appreciate. Like the button props in the top right that show you what your combos are with your weapons and stuff like that.
Oh, I use that for mounting an animal. I don't know when to brace and I don't know when to move. And I use that too.
Because mounting was a relatively new feature they added, and they always put the big button prompts all over the screen on when to do what. So, But yeah, now they've kind of relegated it to the corner, but they never had the other combo buttons there either. So that's interesting. Okay. And then kind of, I feel like most of the low rank hunts, with the exception of like Diablos and Anjanath, were relatively easy. And that's probably, and it's definitely ramped up now that I've hit high rank. But so that might have been, you know, tone the difficulty down just a little bit. And they don't force you to do the boring egg collection missions and gathering stuff. Those would always turn people off quite quickly. And the egg missions are still just as painful as they used to be. But at least you don't, kind of don't have to do it for story. So that's fun. It's just about improving your kitchen.
I think there's, like, they've done well in making it accessible to me, for starters, but there's still some just brain fades they have with some of the stuff where it's like, oh, you didn't tell me about that? I can't explain any of, but there's the parts, like, I still don't know, I haven't got another ability for my Palinko. Like, he's just still doing my wasp, and that's it.
Oh, and So
I've looked into that. It tells me that I've got to go train it somewhere, but I still haven't.
Yeah, no, so, they don't really explain it too well, but they kind of brush over it. They don't say you're going to get extra abilities for it, but there is a quest line that you get given that is like a search and find quest line, which results in that. They don't say at the start that you'll get this thing, but it's an optional quest line that you get to go and talk to the Grimalkinds or whatever it is and befriend those freaking things. Which is worthwhile doing. Yeah, because
you keep on telling me I can talk to these things.
Which is worthwhile doing. Which is really worthwhile doing.
Okay.
Definitely.
I've done all the side quests. What star level is that?
These ones, you just kind of go into an expedition and the cats are there and you go talk to them. Rather than actually coming up as a proper official quest, which is half the problem, because I still haven't. I've got like one or two of them, but I know I've seen Paul using one that has a cat with a flash cage, which the cat will flash bomb monsters for you.
Oh, wow.
And I I don't have that, but what I do have is a shield one, so it'll taunt take a hit or two.
The one that I'm using a lot now is the, I forget what it's called, the Plunder Blade. So basically, your Palinko will knock certain items off the monster and steal items from the monster. So it's the easiest way that I've got gems so far, man. Because I wasn't getting a single gem. Like I was hunting for an Anjanath gem for so long. Then I put the Plunder Blade on and got one straight away. And then I got two Wyvern gems from the next fight.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm still stuck.
Yeah, I've still got to unlock some good stuff.
I've got to play it more, and I'm probably not going to play it till Thursday. Unfortunately, that makes me sad because, like, I don't think we've had a single game such a good start to the year. Like, this has really come out. I haven't seen any negative, really comments from it. A lot of people saying it's not for me. That's fair enough. Look, we understand that, but. The other thing is, like, I put a clip up on my Facebook, my personal Facebook, last Friday night when I took down Rathalos or Diabolus. One of the clips ended up on my personal Facebook, and since then I've had two people outside of USM, outside of my AGPN, outside of all the kind of gaming communities that have messaged me to say, hey, what's your PSN? I want to hunt monsters with you. And that kind of stuff hasn't happened outside of Destiny for me, I guess. And, like, it just seems to be a fairly positive across the board. I think we mentioned this last week, just straight across the board positive from everyone. Everyone's just enjoying it, and I've put it down to a lot of the fact that there's no PvP in there because there's no competition. Everyone just wants to work together to take down monsters.
Yeah, that can be true.
Yes, I can see that.
Yeah, so how are you going finding people to play with? Because I know, Andrew, we had some trouble playing together in a squad the first night that we tried to do it.
Well, that was all figuring out how the multiplayer worked, really.
Yeah.
Nowadays, for the most part, I've been playing with kind of the people I've been playing the older Monster Hunter games with. Like, we were all in the squad together, and we just kind of jumped the squad room and do missions. So it's been kind of chill, drop in and drop out. I haven't gotten around to playing with many of the other AGPN people yet, which is unfortunate, but I definitely need to jump in with some of those guys with you again and see what happens. Murder some monsters.
Yeah, definitely. I've got to play some more. That's the main thing. I haven't even played with Josh yet, so that's something you're probably going to do. Yeah. Are you going to play Thursday night? Play on the stream with me?
Yeah, I'll be on a little bit later on Thursday night. I'm trying to get fit. Okay. I'm trying to get fit. So Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, I go and play squash because I got to lose the beer gut.
That's not a sport.
Yeah, I'll meet you on the squash court, mate. We'll see if it's a sport or not.
Yeah, I can beat you anyway. It's all good. I'm really loving it. I think everyone's really loving it, so we can't wait to play more. Some more of it. Do you expect to see some actual DLC on it fairly soon, Andrew, or are they just going to let it ride for a while?
Well, they've in previous games, they've always done DLC every month, and there's been new quests to fight stronger versions of the monsters there for, like, usually crossover armor and stuff. They have announced that they're putting Devil Joe in, I think it was this month, which is a returning fan favorite monster, a terrifying one. And they also
had the Street Fighter V DLC, to be honest.
Yeah, that's where I was getting to as well. There's the Street Fighter crossover.
So that's going to be a costume, full armor set that you have to probably obviously wear it all at once.
Yeah, you put the whole thing on, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I'm pretty keen to try and get my hand on the Horizon Zero Dawn bow, which is coming out.
Yeah, once they put that quest in.
Yeah.
Yeah, because in some of the...
I missed all that.
In some of the DS ones, they've had some really weird crossovers, but a lot of them have been... for, like, just Palico outfits as well. So they had a Mario outfit for your Palico because it's on 3DS, so they had some of that. They had I think you could get a Samus outfit as well, and I think you could get her gun at one point for, like, the heavy bow gun. And they also had some crossovers with Final Fantasy and random stuff.
Can't
so
wait to see what they're going to do.
Expect some really random stuff. They do have a Mega Man Palico thing incoming as well. They did announce that. So
it's 8-bit Mega Man too, isn't it? Like, it's old school 8-bit Mega Man.
Yeah, 8-bit Mega Man, and it'll play classic Mega Man music while you hunt, depending on the weapon you're using.
Oh god.
So,
So You see yourself, obviously, this will be in your rotation all year, pretty much, by the look of it, by the sounds of it. You're that impressed by it?
Yeah, I mean, that's typical of a Monster Hunter game anyway. It's one of those that I'll hunt all the time. Yeah. I mean, after, you know, the honeymoon period ends, I'll probably play some other stuff as well, because, you know, I've got to keep up. And, you know, yep. Far Cry 5's coming out, so I want to have a crack at that. But,
yeah, who doesn't? Who doesn't want to kill rednecks,
I know, right? To be honest? But, yeah, Monster Hunter is one that I'll keep coming back to. And once it releases on PC, I may well pick it up there as well, because I've got some friends who don't have the PS4 who are waiting for the PC release. Like, well, I'll hunt with them and do it all again.
Yeah, I don't think I can do that ever again. I've done that with a couple games, and I just don't have the time. Like, I did it with Ghost Recon, I did it with Destiny 2, and I'm promising myself I won't do it again, but I probably end up will. We'll see.
Yeah, that's fair.
Any final thoughts, Josh, that you want to say on it? I didn't talk about the progression system, but that seems to be just one of the best parts of it as well. The fact that you always seem like you're improving. But any other comments, Josh?
I just want to jump back to a question you asked Andrew a little bit earlier, Wilco, and that was, you know, about if Andrew feels like the games or this particular version of the game has done a good job of catering to a much wider audience, and I kind of wanted to answer that from my side, because this is the first Monster Hunter I've really played. I think I picked up one, I was either on the Wii U or the Wii, you know, years and years ago, and put it down pretty quick because it just wasn't my cup of tea. But this is, like, I have picked this one up. As I said, I'm 70 odd hours into this one. I've sunk a lot of time into this one, and I'm really enjoying this one. And you know, it's a game you're thinking about. Okay, you're like, even when you're not playing it, you're thinking about, what are the next things I've got to hunt to get that next bit of armor that I want to get, so I can go and hunt these bigger things and make that easy. You know, what you're always thinking about and planning about it. And I think that's part of what's going to make it so successful this year, is that there is a wider audience that are going to start having those feelings and thoughts about the game and roll with it. So I think, it's something that I'm going to be playing all year, I reckon.
Yeah, I can easily see that happening too. It'll be a permanent fixture on my streaming schedule all year anyway. So,
and as they bring out the newer monsters and stuff like that as well, you're going to want to jump back in and go, okay, what's this guy got for me? How do I fight this guy, you know?
Yeah.
We had the 5 million copies shipped in the first three
days.
Yeah,
we did discuss. Yeah.
That happened.
Which is phenomenal.
Look, that's a dream come true for them, pretty much. Like, Capcom's not huge. They probably could be bigger, but they were talking about Resident Evil selling, the biggest one they've ever had, sold 7 million copies. So this is, Monster Hunter's been massive for them. So congratulations to those guys. But, it's just a simple loop. Like, it's not like there's in-depth story, there's in-depth gameplay, there's in-depth mechanics, I'll give it that, but it is just you versus a boss over and over again, and it's just so enjoyable. So however they've done it, I don't know how they've done it, just congratulations.
Magic, mate. Capcom. Magic.
Yeah, definitely.
They've certainly been refining the formula for a long time.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm really looking forward to finally taking down Nergigante, so I can see some of those other Elder Dragons that have been fighting on the DS for years in glorious HD.
Yeah,
I do. I am just going to say this before we move on. Beetlejuice, whatever the hell his name is, can fuck right off.
Oh, God.
He can.
Oh, God. My first encounter with him was terrifying.
I seriously almost broke something this morning, because I quickly jumped in and went to Hunter Giro before I went to work, because I was just trying to get this one more thing so I can get my next bow, my next water bow.
Yeah.
And I've killed the fucking Giro. As soon as I killed him, you know, you've got that thing, that little bit of time before you can really move again. As that's happened, Beetlejuice has come, right? So then I'm trying to I'm trying to carve this dead monster, and this thing keeps knocking me away. So in the 50 seconds or whatever it was that I've got at the end of the hunt, I couldn't carve him. I was furious. I was fuming. And you know what the worst thing is? You know, you get that little, like, at the end, once the time has run out, you still see the screen for, like, another 10 seconds before it goes to black.
Yeah.
As the timer runs out, the motherfucker fucks off. He leaves. I'm like, you
of course he
bastard.
Does.
I was fuming.
Yeah.
He's a fun... Yeah. He's a fun one to fight. And, Wilco hasn't seen him yet, so I kind of don't want to ruin the surprise.
Yeah, don't. I will get to him. I will catch up. This is one of the sad parts. I do feel like I'm getting too far behind people now. I'll try and catch up, but that's one of my worries at the moment. But I was going to say that it's really good for the point that if I've got a spare 10, 15 minutes, like you say, I'll go in, do two or three hunts, and that's perfectly fine. I'm happy with that, some low-level stuff. I really need to have that full hour set aside so I can concentrate on the bigger hunts. Like it fills in those two gaps of I want something that's going to take my attention and really capture me for an hour or more, or I need something quick for 10, 15 minutes. Like it's doing both those really well. So I think that's part of its charm as well. But look, if you're not liking Monster Hunter World, you've already tuned out of the podcast, and I apologise if you do come back.
We've been talking about it for 40 minutes or something like that now, so...
Yeah, about 40 minutes. So, look, it's huge at the moment. We've got to do it. So, but we'll move into the news.
This is the fucking news.
So, look, a lot of news has happened. No, not really, there's been nothing. But there's a couple things that I want to mention that I didn't put on this list because I'm slack. We talked about it last night to death on Super Hype Train, so I'm looking forward to get that episode out to you very soon. Very political episode. Basically, the Australian government turned around and said, we've got all these suggestions that the Senate gave us many, many years ago, 2 years ago, and we don't care. So... they've got to the point where there'll be no extra funding to the local gaming industry. So those people who are leaving uni degrees and TAFE degrees to try and enter the workforce, it's a little bit of a scary prospect right now. But despite that, our indie scene is doing immensely well. And just recently, Queensland Film has announced some funding for local...
Oh, that's cool.
...indie devs. So that we're still behind Victoria. Victoria is the state that's doing the best of it. We talked a couple of weeks ago about the arcade down there. But Queensland's starting to take it a bit more seriously, but the federal government not, unfortunately. So we're a little bit upset by that. Listen to Hype Train, episode 32. When it releases, you'll be able to hear some really good comments from both Screwtape Studios and Gianni from Pixel Sift. So... sad news.
We also did cover that briefly at the end of our interview with Screwtape as well. So,
yeah, so check out the Inconsolables as well. I know Pixel Sift did an episode with, I'm going to stuff this up, but Matthew or Mark behind The Gardens in Between. Their last episode was all about that as well. So you'll find a lot of content out there if you want to hear people's thoughts on it. It's just sad that the industry is doing so well, producing so much money, but still doesn't get treated anywhere near as equally as film or TV does in this country. But anyway, we'll move on to other news. The one that also isn't in here is Not My Car website. It's just been brought up. Go check it out. NotMyCar.com is going to be Battle Royale, but in cars. I can't wait. You jump out of the back of an aeroplane in your car, parachute down, and kill everyone. Go to that website, check it out.
I'm keen to I don't even know what to say to that.
So good.
I'm keen to give that a go.
Oh, it's like Battle Buggies and Destruction Derby all meets Battle Royale. It's so good. So they're signing up pre-alpha at the moment. So go give them your email address. They'll probably sell it off to the highest bidder and hopefully give us a game in the next couple of years. Maybe. We'll see.
Oh, God.
Let's get into the actual news. So, Josh, do you want to take us through some Xenoblade Chronicles? Did you play that, Andrew, just out of interest, number 2 on Switch?
I'm very slowly playing through that at the moment. So, basically, trains and lunch breaks only. So I'm still fairly early on, but I'm loving it.
It's a really good game. It's a really pretty game, really fun game. But, you know, it's one of those games where you've got to sink, you know, 120 hours into it to get to the end of it. I'm about 80-odd hours in. I'm struggling, as dumb as it sounds, to find the time to pick it back up and play it some more at the moment because of everything else that's coming out that I want to play, you know. Like Monster Hunter.
So you're not going to play through it a second time?
I probably will, to be honest with you. So basically, the news this week is that they're releasing a free update, which adds a second playthrough mode. for the game. Once you've finished it, to go back and pretty much play it again as you are at the end, and effectively level up a little bit further from it, which is pretty cool. To, you know, it's a concept that's been around for a while in a lot of games, and I think it's a concept that'll work pretty well in Xenoblade, because right at the start, you know, unless you take note, right at the start even, there's a couple of areas you can't get to until you've got skills and abilities and blades that you get later, you know. So you know, okay, unless you're paying attention and going back once you've got those blades to get all those, there is bits and pieces that are blocked out from you right at the start. So I can understand why they're doing it, but it's a fun game on the Switch, mate, and it's something that I'm certainly going to be finishing this year.
Eventually. Yeah. And hopefully, Andrew, you get to it as well. I'm playing it in train rides and lunch breaks. Sounds like it's going to take you about 5 years to finish, so good luck with that.
Seems legit, yeah.
Now, if I told you, Andrew, now, bear with me, okay? Come to a world where I'm going to give you a free game, and that free game is called Knack. How excited are you about that?
Well, considering I kind of already have a game called Knack that is still in its shrink wrap, not very.
Okay, well, that headlines the PlayStation Plus lineup for February. Yeah. I still can't believe why? No, it's widely known that this game is terrible. Like, I didn't even get through the tutorial and turned it off and never played it again.
But I think the big takeaway, what I'm being told, and so the full lineup from February is you get Knack on PS4, you get Rime on PS4, Spelunker HD on the PS3, Mugen's Souls Z on PS3, Exile's End on the Vita, and then Grand Kingdom on the PS Vita and the PS4. I'm told that's the real takeaway from this month, is Grand Kingdom. If you haven't played it's certainly something that you should be looking at.
Definitely. I'm pretty keen for Rime as well, to be honest. I missed that, and I wouldn't mind giving it a go. I think your brother played it a bit and raved about it for that little bit of time, but not Knack.
Not Knack.
I'm not doing a playthrough on my streaming. No, not happening. Sorry.
not into those kind of suffering streams. Where you just play the worst shit you can find.
No, I just give us a bonus game for the month. Just say, look, there's Knack here free if you haven't played it. But also, the funniest part with this was there was a rumor going around beforehand that was it Far Cry 3. There was about 3 or 4 top line games that were going to be it, and then we got this. So,
oh dear.
Yeah, cool, that happened. So Destiny 2, speaking of stuff that's in trouble at the moment, have put out a roadmap of the next, I think it's 4 months, but 1 month is included, excluded from that. So there's some content coming in February, some in March, and then some in May. Fixing a lot of the issues, basically turning it back into Destiny 1 slowly. You're getting 6v6 back, private matches will be back. You're getting a little bit more variation on your weapons with Masterworks on exotics, and we just got Masterworks on armor and stuff like that today. So there's a big thing of changes coming. It all feels a little too late. Yeah.
It's disappointing, because I really wanted to enjoy Destiny 2, but that game's a bit dead to me now, eh? Like, you know, once there's 2 or 3 story expansions out, I might come back through and pick it back up. But
I think I'll be back in September. I think that's when I'll be back. Okay. They need to prove some stuff though. You played it though, did you, Andrew?
I think I will return.
You got on the hype train for that?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it at first. Like, I waited for PC release, and then really enjoyed it. And then as they slowly just kind of, like, when you hit endgame and there was just nothing new coming, and like no variation in your gear, and then all those other sort of controversies that were coming out about the game, it just kind of like killed
my
enthusiasm.
So there's been stuff happen in the last couple of weeks that we haven't really covered. The fact that there was a Wall Street Journal article saying that pretty much they fear for Bungie's future, because they just can't bring the content out quick enough, and it's been proven that that's probably the fact. But the biggest thing is that they had, I think it was 2,000 to 4,000 viewers on Twitch the other day, where at the same time last year, Destiny 1 had 17,000 at its low point. So it's scary times. Jeez. As mass, you don't go a day without three or four people putting up videos or tweets saying that they're done with Destiny and they're moving on. Their channel will no longer have Destiny content on it. And big names too. Like, there are some huge YouTubers that have been with Destiny from day one and made lots of money off this, and now they're just like, nah, we can't do it anymore.
But I mean, it's so, like, the issue is that they've released a mediocre game in a time where mediocre games really just don't cut it. Like, when you think about it, we just spent 40 minutes talking about how great Monster Hunter World is, you know, Xenoblade Chronicles, you know, all those games that released at the end of last year and the start of this year that are phenomenal. Dragon Ball FighterZ, man, like, you know, you release a mediocre game, it's not going to get the attention for it.
No, unfortunately not. But look, they are working on it. That's the key takeout of all this. There is a roadmap out there. If you want to find out, just go to Bungie's website. That was in the TWOB just recently, the This Week at Bungie post, and a whole heap of other articles that they've put out just recently as well, basically saying what's coming up. So if you are still keen, check it out. I will be playing it again one day, but like I said, probably not till September. So
speaking of hype trains,
I've got a better bit for this, Andrew. If I told you had a choice of two things to do on this October 26th, it's a Friday, okay?
Sure.
You can either go to PAX Australia or you can play Red Dead Redemption 2. Which one are you going to do?
I'm probably going to disappoint you and say go to PAX.
No, that's not disappointing me at all. That's what you should say. That is the real decision that Australian gamers are going to have to face this year, because it hasn't been announced yet, but I'm assuming the way things go, that's the weekend PAX will go as well, because it was October 27th last year. This is going to be fun, Josh. What are you? Are you excited about this decision you'll have to make?
No, seriously, just no. Like, it could get to the point, quite honestly, where if I am lucky enough to be able to go to PAX again this year, and it's on the same weekend, one of the things that I'll be packing to be setting up in the room will be the PS4. Like, that's just it. That is just it. Like, it's going to happen. Like, there's no fucking question, you know, because...
What did you do on the Friday, Andrew, last year with... We had, obviously, Assassin's Creed. You wouldn't have got to play. Wolfenstein, you wouldn't have got to play. But did you get Mario on that day, on that Friday?
I did pick up Mario because I had my Switch with me. So I played a bit of that while in the queue to play Monsanto World, funnily enough. And, and of course, that evening, like, I because the Switch is so portable, I was able to give that a go. And Wolfenstein just waited till I was back in Sydney. So...
Yeah. So, look, it is officially happening. Officially, as official as we can make it anyway. Red Dead Redemption 2 got delayed. But, yeah, October 26th is the new release date for that one. So, look, I can't wait.
I'm just so glad that it's a date this year at the moment. Like, I'm just fucking...
At the moment. That's the key part of that sentence.
Keywords,
I don't know.
It's already been delayed three times before they've given a date.
Third time's the charm, boys. Apparently. Third time's the charm.
I've got a confession to make. I never actually played the first Red Dead Redemption.
That's okay. It's easy to miss. It was such a sleeping giant. It was such, a lot of people didn't play it.
Such a good game. But
So I look at the trailers for Red Dead 2 and I'm like, okay, I can see why people are excited. But I haven't really enjoyed GTA in a while either, so I don't know if I'm actually going to enjoy this one.
I can't wait till I can rob a fucking train with a bunch of mates, you know, just like train just on horses. That's, man, with a six shooter, you know, shooting out windows as you drive, as you gallop past, to jump on a train and rob those motherfuckers blind.
See, I think what they've been, they're worried, because I think they've got Borderlands 3 at the end of the year. They've openly said that they've got one of their biggest franchises is going to get a release before their fiscal year ends, which is before March next year. I think they had Borderlands 3 tentatively put in for October 26th, and then Red Dead's gone, we need some more time. Oh, Borderlands, we're not going to announce you just yet either. We're going to push you back to March, February, March. So, good on 2K. They're going to be breaking in the money. Just hand over fist, unfortunately. But yeah, look, it's happened, it will happen, and obviously more to come with trailers and stuff as we get closer. This will be a hype train that will be going berserk for the end of the year. And
then getting
if
robbed.
You were planning on releasing...
And then getting robbed, exactly. Yeah, by me.
If you were if you were planning on releasing a game in fall 2018, probably don't, is my suggestion. But anyway, I'd get well away from it, and you'll see that too. So Diablo creator unveils a new game called It Lurks Below.
Yeah, so David Brebeck, the creator of Diablo, has a new project coming out. Apparently mixes elements of Diablo, Terraria, and Minecraft. Coming to Steam later this year. Don't really know too much else about it. Like, there's a lot of people out there that really, really love Diablo and the original, you know, Diablo 1 and 2, and think they're, you know, that they're the bee's knees. I never really got into them. I picked up Diablo at Diablo 3 and thought that was fine, and a lot of people hate me for that particular mindset. I thought that was a fun game. I don't know.
That's okay. People hate you anyway.
Well, yeah, that's probably true. That's coming out anyways, and we'll see what it's all about as we get some more information.
I do find myself very interested in this because I did love the original Diablo games. I mean, I like Diablo 3, particularly since after the updates they made it much better. But I also really enjoyed Terraria. So, like, if it manages to meld those things together in a nice way, then I'm sold already.
Yeah, it's got good pedigree, and that's what he's basically selling it on. So,
yeah,
I myself couldn't care less, to be honest, but that's not my type of game.
That's fair.
Like, I've tried Diablo 3 many times, and I just can't get into it. But we'll see. We'll see. What I can't get into either is Tekken Mobile.
Yeah. No, I mean, when this came out, I thought this was the weirdest fucking news article I'd seen.
Why?
A Tekken mobile game. Bandai Namco just must be smoked some shit some days, you know?
Well, they're doing a good job of it because they're making some money at the moment. Holy.
Yeah, but I'm sure that people will eat this up.
Yep.
They will fucking eat this up. The other one, too, is with the release of the mobile game. I think there's a mobile exclusive character coming, Bo Rodeo Montana, you know, as a US Marine. God. So, again, I'm sure the people that are Tekken fanatics like my brother will love this and we'll probably eat it up. But yeah, look, that happened.
Okay, cool. And blah, 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 PUBG did something, blah, 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 blah. rumors at the moment, Crash Bandicoot is coming to everything else. These aren't rumors, are they? We've known this for a long time because everything said before coming to PlayStation 4, but not exclusively.
You know, it has been stated that they're coming to PC and Switch, but the other big rumor is that there is a totally new Crash game coming.
Yeah.
Not a remake, not anything else, a totally new one.
Now, Andrew, how surprised are you by that?
A totally new Crash Bandicoot game after the success of the remaster trilogy? Not overly surprised, but definitely interested. Because I love Crash Bandicoot.
Okay. That's...
Crash is the best, I think, man.
No, it was the best. We're back when games were terrible. And look, it's just, cool. I'll probably end up getting the Insane Trilogy at some mid-year sale at some stage and playing it and not liking it anymore still. But of course they're going to be bringing a new game out. Look for the Spyro remake to come out this year, I assume, as well, or be announced. But
one thing. If we do get a Spyro remake, for God's sake, he better be more than a 5-year-old dragon, and I better be able to fly and shoot fucking fire out of my mouth. That's all I'm saying. Like, not this shit gliding crap that was in so many of those games. Nah, flapping them wings and flying. That's what I want.
Yeah, well, honestly, look, it's an Activision title. It was never going to stay exclusive with PlayStation forever. And I'm pretty sure we saw footage of it with Xbox buttons at some stage, so... I don't know. But anyway, the last couple bits of news, Total War Arena has an open access event starting on the 7th of February, which is by the time this podcast comes out. So check it out. It's the Total War's version of Arena Battles, sort of multiplayer, 12, so four a side, 12 on a field. for three sides battling it out. Look, it looks really good, and I'm really keen to get into it. But yeah, if you haven't got into the closed beta, then this is your chance to start playing it. And if you look around, there's a code that gets you some in-game items as well. It's got letters and numbers and stuff in it, but I haven't got it on me at the moment, so check that out. And hopefully some more information coming soon from Wargaming, so really excited about that. There was two trailers, Westworld Season 2. I still haven't watched Westworld Season 1.
Yeah, me either.
So don't spoil it for me.
I
really want to. Don't get me wrong. I watched like 3 or 4 episodes, but my partner fell off it, which means I have to find my own time to watch it, and I don't have spare time.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's fair. Look, I really enjoyed Westworld when the first season. I'm a little bit... There's some stuff that happens at the end of the first season that I really wanted them to dive into a little bit more, which doesn't look like they're doing as an offshoot just yet. I'm sure it'll come at some point. But from everything I've seen, I think this trailer came out with Super Bowl on Monday, maybe.
That happened.
The trailer looks pretty cool, and I'm pretty keen for Westworld Season 2. The other one was obviously the trailer for Solo, the Han Solo movie, Star Wars movie.
Can
coming
I
out, so.
Annoy a lot of people and say that was probably the worst trailer I've ever seen?
It
was terrible. What did you think, Andrew?
I haven't watched the full trailer. I just watched the teaser thing that the Super Bowl released. I wasn't overly enthused with that one either, so I don't know. I don't know if I want to watch that trailer, to be honest.
I didn't. Yeah, I left myself going, was this a real thing or was this a fan-made thing? Did I just watch something actually in Star Wars universe? Did I really just lose a minute and a half of my life?
I'm still stuck with the question of, do we need to go back and see Han Solo's past? Like, we know who he is. Can we have a new story, please?
And that have they not learned with prequels that we know where the story ends? So why are you telling? Unless you've got a really, 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 really good story about how it happened, like, who cares? Yeah. We know what happens at the end anyway.
Yeah, so. I'm pretty interested to see this, like the front end of Han Solo's life, because it's not something that wasn't really covered. But there might have been some extended universe books, you know, that released way back in the day, but, you know, about how he first gets the Falcon, first meets Chewie, all that kind of stuff, like that does kind of interest me. But I feel like the trailer didn't really, there was no real hook in that trailer to tie you in and go, oh, okay, I need to see this movie. It was like, okay, yeah, it's another Star Wars movie.
I can tell you now, the story will not be as good as whatever you've had in your head for the last 30 odd years of how Han Solo became Han Solo. It'll just be a
probably
mediocre
not.
Ride
probably
at
not.
Best.
But, you know.
But anyway, I don't think we need a movie every year from Star Wars either, but that's just my idea.
I mean, I find when anything gets annualized, it tends to fall off a bit. So
no, Assassin's Creed's perfect, man. FIFA's amazing. What are you talking about? Need for Speed did not die. Come on. Did I just mention all EA titles?
I think you did.
No, Assassin's Creed, sorry.
Ubisoft. Yeah, no, you're good.
may as well be.
Yeah, just about. We got some listener feedback. That's all the news we're going to talk about. We've been talking for way too long. Stevie Jar.
So I left that first one in there as just a homage to Stevie Jar. He did ask us a question last week, and we had a really good answer for it. So there was a question that Stevie Jar asked last week. Sorry, Stevie.
Yeah, so they answered it really well. You would have loved the answer that
really
both
good.
Anthony and Meg gave. That it was absolutely amazing, but unfortunately you'll never hear it. So, cool. So
what a shame.
Josh or Dash Choma or Mr. Buttersocks, whatever other 50 million names he wants to call himself. See, I've got a story quickly. We play PUBG, and Last Wave gets in on it sometimes as well. Josh gets drunk and plays PUBG sometimes, and then he runs around the map going...
I don't do that at all.
No, the other Josh. This is the one I'm talking about. He runs around going, Choma number one, Choma number one. Now, forever and a day, Last Wave thought he was being really racist and going around going, China number one, China number one, until
oh,
he
God.
Really...
Oh, no.
Yeah, so... shout out to Last Wave, we love you. So, gonna look into Not My Car or not? Yes, I am. I've already signed up It's going to be great.
Also,
Andrew's not fussed.
Oh no, I'm keen. I've never been a big fan of like PUBG or Fortnite, but I've been wanting car battles to come back for a long time, and that might be the way to push me into a battle royale game.
Well, I saw it and I'm like, oh, cool, Rocket League's just made a battle royale game. That sounds amazing. But it wasn't. But it seems like it's very much that style of car craziness, but in a battle royale, which is just amazing. Oh, I love my cars. So this is going to be good. Also, what the hell are lucky vouchers in Monster Hunter World? So they basically give you double the money reward, and they give you a bonus reward. Have I got that right?
Definitely double.
Double money, and I think you get some extra rewards. You also get a higher chance of the better rewards at the end of a quest.
Yep. So you get them for logging in each day. Each day you log in, you get the login bonus, you get that and a random item as well.
Now, the big one to remember too is you can only ever have 5 lucky vouchers.
Yes, so you need to actually activate them before you start an investigation or a quest or a side mission or something like that. Expedition? They work on expeditions as well?
No, because you've got to actually set up the quests. So.
Yep. So yeah, also, definitely use them. Log in every day.
It also does work for your friends who come on the quest with you, I think. So
oh, sweet.
If you set up a quest and use a lucky voucher, they'll get some bonuses too.
Yeah, he doesn't have friends, so it's probably not worth talking to him about that.
Well, worth mentioning for anyone else who's listening then.
That's right, other people listen to this podcast. I'm sorry, I keep on forgetting that. Stevie Jar's come back with another question. I have no idea about this, but anyway. Tomorrow, Elon Musk launches a car into space. Looking back in the entire gaming history, what game frustrated you so much that you would want to put it on the rocket and fuck it off, hoping it dies in a fiery yet spectacular launch failure? Do you know what? The amazing coincidence is that we've already talked about it on tonight's show. Knack. Send Knack in the space. Just go.
I want to touch on this question a little bit for not the reasons that Stevie Jar is asking us to touch on this question.
Yep.
Why is this the first I'm hearing that Elon Musk is going to launch a car into space? And how fucking batshit crazy is this bloke? Seriously. Like, what the hell, man?
He has smoked some fucking weed in his time, man. Seriously.
Sometimes you just turn around and Musk is like, I did a crazy. Ha ha. Here it is. And you're like,
I honestly want to see Elon Musk go to Kojima and say, let's make something together. Not a game. Let's just make something in real life.
Yeah, let's do a craft day, boys. Let's just do a craft day. Let's see what happens. No, that's... how did I not know about this? Like, this happening, launching a car into space. I've got to go and research this, man. Like, that's fucked. It is fucked.
Andrew, have you got thoughts on a car going into space or a game that you want to see go with it?
Duke Nukem Forever.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, that's probably really fair, actually.
I tortured myself for far too long with that game, and it's still attached to my Steam account.
No...
I did finish it and I hated every second of it.
You know what mine is? You know what mine is?
Yeah.
The very first game that I've ever reviewed for USM, Far Cry fucking Primal.
You didn't like Far Cry 4?
Oh, I hated Far Cry Primal.
What's Primal? Is that that was the DLC 4, sorry.
Yeah, that was the caveman one, man.
That was like, set that in the exact same map as 4.
Yeah, exactly the same map. Everything's exactly the fucking same, except they took the English language out of it.
Yep. That was their attempt of annualizing Far Cry. Thank God that fucking didn't happen. Although, when did we have Primal? That was last year, and we're getting 5 this year.
It last year?
Primal was like 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago, sorry. We had 4, then we had Primal, then we had a year off, and then we got 5. Okay. There you go. Yeah, that's fair. I'd agree with that. So, let's wrap this little puppy up. What are you looking forward to, Andrew, in the coming weeks? Just hunting more monsters or podcasts or what?
Probably hunting more monsters. I mean, to be completely honest, just hunting lots and lots of monsters. I mean, I am looking forward to Far Cry 5, but that's probably another solid month away. So,
yeah, maybe we did a February outlook the other day, and I'll give you the hot tip: there is nothing in February coming out. But anyway,
okay. Yeah, it's a bit of a slow month, really, isn't it?
Plenty of time for Monster Hunter then. I'm also keen to actually spend some time with Dragon Ball FighterZ. So,
okay. Yep.
Actually, give that more than half an hour.
Josh, what are you looking forward to?
Monster Hunty, just hunting. Yep. I gotta go hunt another a couple more Legianas. Like that's in my plan to go and hunt those things. I hate them. I don't know why. They're one of my most hated monsters in the game. So I'm really looking forward to that. I'm still thinking about trying to pick up Bayonetta 2, the special edition, this year on this month on the Switch to get Bayonetta.
That's one and two.
Yeah, one and two
together
in
it?
The special edition only. I think. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Because I never played Bayonetta, so
yep.
You know, pretty.
Oh, you're in for a treat.
Yeah. And the only other thing is some other stuff that I'm playing at the moment that'll come off an embargo on Monday, so I'll have some content up on that as well. So keep your eye out for that.
Well, I'm looking forward to Monster Hunter. That's for damn sure. I'm really slack at advertising stuff. I want to play Mario Kart this Friday with all the AGPN boys. I will post that on Facebook tomorrow, I promise you. That will be good if I can get people to play with me. I'm also keen to play some Party Crashers. I know it's in early access still, but I'm going to be making a video about that next week on my personal channels. I just did one on Damsel, so every Tuesday I'm going to have an indie title up on my channel. Bit of a walkthrough impressions video. So looking forward to that. Got Epic Tavern lined up for that, and I'm going to do some Sprike as well. So lots of stuff coming on my personal side.
Have you played much more Epic Tavern since the last time we spoke about
it? No, I haven't, and I feel really bad because it eats at me that I want to play it, and I just haven't had a chance. So that's why I've put it down for a video. I want to give that game some more love because it is a little bit special and something I want to see more of in the world, because we've got too many shooters, we've got too many everything else. I want to see cool little fun D&D type games like this or whatever is something a little bit special coming out.
Okay,
so.
I've got no idea what this game is, but you said D&D, so I'm already sold.
It's literally just a D&D game, but you own a tavern and the people that come in offer you quests, and you've got to please them to get those quests, and you can have them join your party, and you can have multiple parties and send them out on expeditions. And it's literally dice roll, this craziness happened, how are you going to deal with it? Dice roll. Oh, no, that didn't work, dice roll. And it
sounds pretty great.
Freaking hilarious, to be honest. Yeah, I think it's early access as well at the moment. I think it's like $20 or 20-something American. But, yeah, if you're a D&D fan, it's a must-get, to be honest.
I'll give that a look then.
Yeah, so you just spoiled my whole video. Now I don't have to do it.
still do it. You want to play it, right?
I do want to play it. And that's the thing. Like, I didn't do much personal content last year. I did pretty much shit all. And you can tell by the end of the year that I had hardly played a game all year. So this is forcing me to play games again, which is good. And I'm enjoying it. Got some stuff lined up for this month. I've got a video out there explaining what I'm bringing as far as content for the rest of the month. So go check that out on Wilco's Chill Zone on YouTube and Twitch. But that's enough plugging. Let's actually do some plugs. Andrew, where can people find you and the Inconsolables and your partner in crime who's not here tonight?
Well, so the Inconsolables, you can find us on iTunes and Stitcher and all the usual podcast places. And on Twitter, it's InconsolablesAU and Inconsolables Podcast on Facebook. Personally, you can find me on Twitter at Calgar. And my partners in crime, neither of whom are here. Well, Paul was going to talk about Monsanto with us. He's Thunder Mace AUS. And then
I was going to mention that Sammy as well at the end, because I forgot to mention. Sorry, Sammy.
and Mr. Sam Harkin on Twitter, Sammy Deej. And Sammy's getting into Monster Hunter a little bit. He's played it a bit. He's picked it up. He's learning. So we'll have a new hunter soon, I think.
Well, that's good to see. He joined us on that first night in the background. And
Yeah,
I don't think he knew what was going on, but he was enjoying it. That was
he had a bit of a run, like, earlier that day playing it, and then when he went back home after the generosity stuff, he picked up his own copy and started playing. So I think it's still pretty early game, but he's playing it on and off. So
yeah, definitely go check out the Inconsolables podcast. Definitely 100% do that. Josh, where can people find you for some reason?
Supermega Josh on Twitter and Discord.
When was your last tweet?
So you can find me on Twitter and Discord. I'm also obviously on the PS4 a lot at the moment with Monster Hunter, so if you want to hunt something, come and join our squad. We will go hunting together. Jump into the Discord, give me a shout out, and we'll addy with the PSNE and the thingies and the sideways and do that.
You'll make it happen, don't worry about that.
Yeah, magic, mate, magic.
Yeah, we'll squad up.
Before I get into the whole spiel wind up, thank you so much, Andrew, for popping by tonight. It's been a lovely
thanks
season.
A lot.
It
has, mate. Thanks a lot for having me.
No problems at all. We will get some more AGPN people on in the future, people, so keep an ear. We'll be working with some people in the future, and we'll definitely be working with Andrew again, for sure. Don't worry about that. Especially on Hype Train. There'll be more games that he's hyped for that we'll get him on for. So you can catch me on Wilco's Chill Zone, like I said, on Twitch and Twitter, and now YouTube. I did rebrand my old YouTube account, Wilco's Chill Zone. So I think it's youtube.com/c/Wilco's Chill Zone. Gets you directly there. Go sub. Lots of videos coming out in the future. But you can get ultrasupermega.com.au, where all our content is. Look out for Monster Hunter reviews aplenty coming soon. You can get all our socials on there as well. So join our Discord. Have some fun, because we're always chatting in Discord. It's one of the most active Discords that we've got, Australia-based ones anyway. I mean, a few American-based ones, but as far as Australian-based ones go, this is one of the most active ones I've seen. So check it out. Check us out on Twitter. All those links are on the social tab on our website, and all our other podcasts, the Locked On and Super Hype Train. Go check them out. Give them a listen. Give them a rate on iTunes. But that is it for tonight, everyone. Thank you all. We will catch you next week. And thanks again, Andrew. See you later. Bye.
See you.